Bibles tonight, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 in your Bibles. And it's always good to have Pastor Mrs. Tomlinson with us when they're able to stop in, which is not enough. I guess it's the right thing. They're out serving the Lord and doing what God's called them to do. We're excited about it. I'm looking forward to having them preach June 12th, and hasn't preached since Missions Conference. I know it'll be a blessing for our church, and I'm thankful. You don't get to hear from them too often. I get to talk to them or communicate with them just about every week, and most weeks throughout the week, and he's been such a blessing to me personally. So it's good to have Pastor Mrs. Tomlinson with us. And I meant to mention Laura. Congratulations. Laura Faust-Clark graduated college this week and been working diligently there. Tim and Laura have been faithful folks in our church. And congratulations to you. Very happy for you. Colossians, I said three. I meant four. We're in Colossians 4. Last week, we went through verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6. And I said that those verses, really the heart, the key of those verses in verses 1 through 6, we're found in verse number 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And we looked at where else that's found in the Bible. And we talked about really the whole purpose. Paul talked to them earlier about getting their doctrine right, chapters 1 and 2, not allowing the false teachers to come in. Then in chapter 3, then getting their lives right, really, getting mortify there for your members, get rid of some things in your life. Put some right things into your life. And he talked about put on the new man. We went through all of that verse by verse and how that then should affect us in different parts of our lives at the church house, as church members, as family members, as members of society. We looked at that a few weeks ago. But really, it's not just about then. So why do we get rid of these things in our lives? And why do we get our doctrine right? And then why do we get the right things in our lives so that we can then take what God's given us and reach out with it? That's the whole point of the church. That's the whole point about why God's left us. That's his commission. Go ye. Go reach out with the good news you've received. And we looked at that step by step through those six verses. What Paul was talking about, pray, he said, that there'd be an open door, an effectual, that there'd be opportunities to preach the gospel. And everything for Paul was all about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so last week we saw reach out and really, that was kind of the end of his letter. That was really kind of the end of the message. We said this last week. Now, it's not the end of the letter because all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. And God chose for Paul to write what we have divided into 12 more verses. So it's not the last thing we can learn. But if you really kind of look at the message of the letter, what he was really, that was kind of the end of it. And now he's closing the letter out. Now he's starting and he starts just listing some people and talking about different people. And so he started at the beginning, and Paul often does in his epistles, with talking about who wrote it, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who he's writing it to, and then he kind of talks to them. He usually has his introductions. We pray for you. We love you. We've heard good things about you. We've heard that there's great your great faith. We've heard all these things. He starts with the introduction. Then he gets to the meat of his letter, and then there's that conclusion. And he's getting to the end. And what we come to now, the last 12 verses of Colossians, is that conclusion. It's Paul now just talking about what's taking place, who he's with, who loves them. And I don't think, again, like I said, we're not just gonna gloss over this. I think we're gonna be here for a few weeks. I don't think we're done learning from Paul. I think there's much to learn. And he lists 10 different names. And then at the very end, he lists himself. And I think today we're only going to get through one of the names. And I think the last lesson on this study, we're only going to get to the last. The Lord's already kind of put the lesson message on my heart from the last verse when Paul talks about himself. And then we might for a week or two kind of take care of the names in the middle there. But one of the reasons I think one of the things we can take from the fact that Paul lists these names at the end of his letter, he didn't have to do that. I think we can learn from that. Paul is teaching the Colossian Christians the power and importance of their relationships. Paul takes some time here to mention who he's with and who's encouraged him and who's doing what and what where they're at. I think Paul's teaching us about the importance of our relationships in the Christian life. Paul's teaching them, this isn't all of me. I couldn't do this without these guys, and you couldn't do this without. I think he's teaching us, and you go throughout Paul's epistles, and there is verse after verse after verse teaching us, and throughout all of Scripture, teaching us the importance of our relationships, the power of influences in our lives, the power of those things. What does the Bible tell us? It says iron sharpeneth, is that in Proverbs, right? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The power of influence, the power of our relationships. It talks about he that walketh, Proverbs 13, he that walketh with wise men shall be what? But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. What? The power of relationships. Really, who you and I associate with, who we allow influence into our lives, who we allow to have a voice in our lives, will greatly shape our future. I've heard it said, specifically speaking to teenagers and college-age students, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. May I say, that's not just for teenagers and college-age students. If I show you my friends, I'll show you my future. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. The power of relationships. And this really isn't the message at all. This is just a little introductory commercial that I pondered, why would Paul put all of these thoughts? But maybe for we need to consider, who have we allowed influence into our lives? Maybe a friend, a family member, a coworker, online, social media, wherever it might be. Who have we allowed that? What does the Bible tell us? What did Paul say in his epistle? He said, ye did run well. And then the next word, who did hinder you? You were doing so good. You were living for the Lord. Pastor Thomason's been here 25 years and 2 weeks. How many times, Pastor Thomason, did you see someone on fire for the Lord? They got excited about the things of God. Maybe a teenager or a college-age student or a young couple or a middle-aged couple or a senior citizen. They were so on fire, excited, and then all of a sudden, as a pastor, you start to get nervous. Ooh, why are they spending time with that one? That burdens me. That concerns me. Why? Because you did run well. Paul said, who? Who hindered you? Who slowed your progress? Who's changed your spirit? There's a relationship there that's not healthy. There's something there that's not good. And what did Paul say earlier in this epistle? He said, beware. Earlier in Colossians, he told them, I think it's Colossians 2, maybe I forget, 18 or 19, I can't remember right now. But he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits after the traditions of men, not after Christ. Beware lest any man spoil you. Paul's teaching them earlier about the power of their relationships. Then he's going on and he lists 10 people to tell them, these relationships God has used to sharpen me and to sharpen you. And evil communications corrupt good manners. Influences are so important. Well, that is, that's like when you plug in the new DVD. They have all the commercials at the beginning. That's the end of the preview. We're done with that. Now we're going to get to the message. And here's my message. I want to ask you a question to start. How many of you have been, anybody in here, you've been saved less than 5 years? Let me just see. Saved less than 5 years. How many of you, raise your hand, you've been saved at least 5 years? At least 5 years. Keep them up if it's been 10. I'm there, 10. Been saved at least 10 years, the vast majority. At least 15 years, been saved. 20. That's about half the crowd. 25. We'll stop so that we don't start. You've been saved 20. And you can keep going. That's probably half the crowd here, a quarter of a century. I was reading this week in Colossians chapter 4. How many of us, we've been saved 5 to at least half the crowd, a quarter of a century. How many know much, if anything, about Tychicus? I don't know about you. How many of us can ever remember hearing a message maybe preached about Tychicus? That's not a name really. Paul, Peter, Nathaniel, we name our kids after. I have Titus. I have Timothy, but not Tychicus. I've not heard anybody name their kid after Tychicus. And not a really, truthfully, pretty unknown character in God's Word. And today my message this evening is, and we're going to see it, and I'm going to give us some thoughts from this. In God's work, unknown doesn't mean unimportant. Unknown, I'm going to show us from God's Word, unknown doesn't mean unimportant. We're going to study the life. We're going to look at two verses tonight. We're going to study the life of Tychicus. We meet him, and we don't need to turn there yet. We will in a minute. But we meet Tychicus for the first time in the book of Acts. It's during Paul's third missionary journey. We believe that Tychicus probably was saved at Ephesus during Paul's an extended stay at Ephesus. And we believe, the reason we believe that is because in Acts, Tychicus is listed with his very well-known friend Trophimus. You know about Trophimus too? And he hung around with another guy we've not heard much about. But we know he was from Ephesus. He was an Ephesian. And so because of that, we believe that probably Tychicus was saved at Ephesus. And he is, although not really well known, interestingly, he was mentioned in 5 of the 29 books of the New Testament. Tychicus' name is actually mentioned in 5 of Paul's epistles. And we're going to look at those tonight a bit. But first, let's read verses 7 and 8 together. Colossians chapter 4. Let's begin. We'll read it aloud. Verse number 7. Ready? Begin. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. Whom I have sent, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. May I say, first of all, just from reading those two verses, it's a pretty good testimony. You just read about this man, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God put Tychicus, had Paul write, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he penned these words about Tychicus. Pretty good testimony as you read, and those are the only two verses where he's mentioned in this epistle. He's mentioned in several others, and we're going to go there, but a good testimony. I want to bring us tonight, I'm going to give us three thoughts from this and this message as I read this. Unknown in God's work, unknown does not mean unimportant. Number one, I see if you're taking notes, he was incognito. For alliteration's sake, I had to find a word that started with an I there. And for unknown, he was basically, I asked us how many of us really know much about Tychicus. Not if we had to, if you had asked me before this week, you know, stand and talk about it, I probably couldn't have told you very much about him. I've read his name plenty of times, but just kind of read it and kept moving. Really pretty unknown. There's nobody that in the children's stories, you know, Jonah and the whale, David and Goliath, Tychicus and Trophimus. There's no children's story there that's being taught about him. Pretty unknown guy in God's word. And we see basically unknown. And may I say that God's work needs public figures like the Apostle Paul. Well-known people that take the lead and do those things, and maybe they're the Bible talks about in the body of Christ, and all of us can't be the eye, all of us can't be. And I think that the body of Christ, the work of God, does need some well-known people, not for their name's sake, but I guess you could just say leaders, spiritual leaders. I'm not talking about celebrities. I don't think the work of God needs celebrities, but spiritual leaders that you would say are pretty well-known. But may I say this? Strong churches are built on the backs and built by the Spirit and built by the labor and the faithfulness, very often, of the incognito members. The members that maybe aren't well known, but they're prayer warriors, they're givers, they're servants, they're faithful Sunday school teachers, and they're not teaching the large adult class, and there's nothing wrong with teaching the large adult class, but they're faithful in the first grade girls class. They're faithful in the Wobblers nursery. They're faithful in their station greeting folks with the happy, and most of the people might not even know their name, but they have a happy smile when they see them in their section or walking into church. Great churches, and the work of God doesn't just need those that are out in the front. The work of God, the body of Christ, needs every member doing their part. God's work needs the private supporters as well, just as much as it needs the public figures like Paul. And may I say, incognito does not mean insignificant. Unknown does not mean unimportant. And God calls all of us to different works and gives all of us different gifts and calls all of us to do different things. And the truth of the matter, it's basically, when people come to church, I'm going to be fairly known. I'm the one standing up in the front, and they're going to see me and they're going to read my pictures in the bulletin. But that does not make me more important because there's more of a, people would know my name more. That's, God has called me to a specific role in the work of Christ. But may I say, I understand this church, and I preached an entire message about it back in January, February, the pastor isn't Superman. This church is not built upon me, and this church isn't based upon me. I am a part of the body of Christ. But if we're going to have a great church, it can't be one or two or three or four or five key people. We need a bunch of Tychicuses. people that are faithful to the work that God has called them to, that support the work of God, that support the man of God, that encourage each other, that work. And we're going to see later on some of the things that he did. But may I say, you might feel like, well, I'm kind of unknown, or I'm just, that's not really my personality, so I don't know. I like to be in the back, and everybody's different. I like to be in the shadows. I like to be in the background. There are some people, some of the most mightily used people of God that I've known in my Christian life, that they do amazing works for God and nobody knows anything about it. What a wonderful testimony. Now, there are some that they do amazing works for God, like Paul, and everybody knows about it. And I praise God for that as well. I'm not saying we don't need anybody like Paul. We need Apostle Pauls. We need people that we do know the names. We need those that stand up for God. But we also need those in the support roles. We need those that are faithful in their spot. We need those that are there. You can count on them. They're dependable. And so I see here, as we study this life of the unknown but not unimportant Tychicus, number one, he was incognito. But I want us to see, secondly, even though he was incognito, he was an integral part of Paul's ministry. He was an integral part. We'll study it. Let's go. We're going to study, and you're going to have to follow along with me here. It's a Bible study on Wednesday evening. Hold your hand here in Colossians, and we're going to look at the other times that he is listed. I want you to turn with me to Acts in chapter number 20. Acts in chapter 20. I want you to see where the references of Tychicus and what he did. Acts in chapter number 20. Beginning in verse number 4. Actually, let's start in verse number 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples. And notice that after the uproar was ceased, that there was some problems going on. He embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months. Notice this. And when the Jews, what did they do? Laid wait for him. And as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia, notice this, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Trophimus. And I see here that Paul, acts in chapter 20, verse 4, he was an integral part of Paul's ministry through threats. He stayed faithful through the threats. The Jews laid wait. There were people trying to threaten Paul and trying to attack Paul and trying to hurt Paul's ministry. Through the threats against Paul's ministry, Tychicus was there as a faithful servant of God and a faithful encourager to the Apostle Paul. Turn over, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. When you read the book of Ephesians, it is a companion epistle to Colossians. We believe that Ephesians and Colossians, both written from prison, and believe that probably, we're going to see it in a minute, Tychicus probably carried both letters at the same time, carried the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians, and went back and did a circuit to these churches in Ephesus, letting them know what Paul was saying there, and then a circuit and went over to Colossae and let them know the letter that Paul had, that he was supposed to read to the church there. And so we find in Ephesians chapter number 6, And we're going to see almost an identical passage here in a moment. But Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 21. In verse 20, actually, he says, "For which I am an ambassador in," Ephesians 6, 20, "for which I am an ambassador in" what church? Bonds. He's an ambassador in bonds. Again, Paul didn't see obstacles. He saw opportunities. He was in prison, but he still saw that as an opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ. "That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." He's praying for me that I won't use this as a hindrance, but to preach the gospel. Verse 21, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." Almost the exact same conclusion that we just read in Colossians. And I see here in Acts, Tychicus was faithful through the threats. He was an integral part of his ministry through threats. Here I see he stayed faithful through tribulation. Paul has been imprisoned. And by the way, it probably at that time was not a real popular thing to be associated with the Apostle Paul. He was kind of causing some problems. Everywhere he went, he was getting stoned. He was getting imprisoned. The Jews were lying in wait for him. Wasn't real popular, but Tychicus was there. He was there when trials came. He didn't leave. When trials came, he didn't run. Through tribulation, Tychicus stayed faithful. He was a trusted partner that carried the letter to the Ephesians and Colossians. We believe at the same time Onesimus took the letter of Philemon, and those two men that we're going to see named later on in Colossians, Onesimus, the next name that is mentioned, we'll talk about next week. But Tychicus, through tribulations, then I want you to see 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy 4, you're listening well. 2 Timothy 4, it's good to study God's Word and not just skip over a verse that lists a name, but to learn a little more from God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He says in verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world," 2 Timothy 4:10, "and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." He's talking to him, and I wrote down here, he was faithful through transition. From place to place, Tychicus went. Whatever the need was, "You need me to stay with you in prison, Paul? Here I am. You need me to go to Ephesus? Okay, I'll do that. You need me to go to Colossae?" And Tychicus was flexible, he was faithful, he was an integral part through transition. May I say this? Life changes. Seasons of life change. Our situations in life change. But may we stay faithful. May I even say this, and not in a bad way, but culture changes, and sometimes that's in a bad way, but and churches change, and I know that churches can change for a bad way, but sometimes churches change in a good way and people can't handle it. Sometimes a church that's a small church and they've just been this tight band, all of a sudden God blesses something and people don't like that. Movement creates friction. Growth, there's growing pains that come with that. And something exciting happens and it's not the way we've always done it. I don't like that. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, if God starts to do something. I'm not talking about doctrinal change. I'm not talking about compromising doctrine. But if we're not careful as the seasons of life change, then our devotion to Christ changes. As the seasons and situations of our life change, oh no, let's be faithful unto death. And what I see here is Tychicus was with him at prison, then he went to Ephesus, then he went to Colossae. He was faithful through transition. The last place we'll turn, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter number 3, I read this just a day or two with our family one morning. Titus 3, I mentioned that in my weekly email yesterday as we were reading this and I was considering this chapter. Titus chapter 3. Notice verse number 12, Titus 3:12. "When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." And I wrote down he was faithful here through travel, similar to the transition, but through the travels. Not everybody stayed with Paul. We just read, "Demas hath forsaken me." Not everybody stayed with Paul through his travels, but we see there in those five, and we never find any negative mention of Tychicus. What a great testimony. He's mentioned in 5 of the 29 books of the New Testament. He's mentioned here in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And every time, it's either just it's a pretty incognito, you have to admit. It doesn't tell us a whole lot. It doesn't tell us a whole lot. And really, probably the most that we learn is in Colossians, where we're going to go in just a moment. Pretty incognito, pretty unknown guy. But I would suggest to you that great churches are built with these folks. The work of God, the body of Christ needs these folks. And I would suggest that unknown does not mean unimportant. Just as we mentioned a few weeks ago, if God's called you to the plow, you're going to receive that reward and your work that you do, where he said, "Whatsoever that thy hand finds you, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord." The plow as much as the pulpit. If God's called you to the plow, we have just as much responsibility to be faithful to work God's called us to as if God calls us to the pulpit, wherever it might be. But incognito does not mean insignificant. Unknown does not mean unimportant. And I see he was a vital part of Paul's ministry. 5 different letters Paul chose to mention this man through trials, through tribulation, through transition, through testings, through travels. And then we come back in our third point and we'll be done. Colossians chapter 4. Let's take a look at these two verses. Kind of the heart of his testimony, the heart of this. What was Paul? I see, what was Tychicus? I see number 3. He modeled important characteristics for us as Christians. He modeled some important characteristics for us as Christians. He was a great example. There's a lot that is communicated about this man in these two verses. And for me, it's a great challenge. The testimony of Tychicus is the testimony that I want. I would suggest to you, number one, what can we know from the five references about him, about this man, and what kind of a church member, what kind of a Christian, what kind of a servant of God should all of us strive to be? I would suggest, number one, he was trusted. Paul gave him the letter, and he had no idea. Little did Tychicus know. He might have known his name was at the end, and he might not have. We don't know. But little did he know, he thought he was just carrying a note from Paul to go help this small group of believers over at Ephesus, this church over at Colossae. Little did he know he was carrying the very words of God. He was faithful, and he would take two books, Ephesians and Colossians. He would carry those, and we would be studying them, reading them. Lives would be being changed by them for thousands of years. Why? Because he was a faith. Obviously, he was able to be trusted. Paul could trust that he would do what he was supposed to do, to go to deliver these letters to the churches. He was a trusted servant. I want you to see verse number 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. Notice what he says. Who is a, what are the next two words, church? Who is a what? Beloved brother. I wrote down secondly, not only was he trusted, but he was beloved. He was loved. We have to strive for that. Strive to be somebody that we give our hearts to those and people, then there's an appreciation that comes back. I see thirdly, not only was he trusted, not only was he beloved, but I wrote down, he was loyal. He said he was a beloved brother. There aren't much, he wasn't family, and Paul said, he's as close as family to me. And I know we're talking about the family of God, beloved brother, another Christian, but we have that close relationship. He's a loyal, trusted, loved brother in Christ. And I'm going to send, he's coming, and he's bringing the letter. By the way, when they got the letter, they would have known who brought it. Paul didn't have to write this. Tychicus was holding it. But Paul wanted, he's teaching us something about how we ought to praise, I think, people. How we ought to appreciate those that we serve the Lord together with. The heart we ought to have one toward another. And thanking God for those. And he's letting them know you ought to thank God for this man. He's going to tell you everything that's going on with me. And he's a good man. He's a beloved brother. He's trusted. He's beloved. He's loyal. I see then, what does it say? He says he's not only a beloved brother. Notice then he says, and a, in verse number 7, not only a beloved brother, and a what? Faithful minister. I wrote down number 4, faithful. Never heard much about Tychicus. Haven't seen many sermon series preached on old Tychicus. I might, if I have a 6th child, we might name him Tychicus, honey. What do you think about that? Pretty good guy, isn't he? Is there anybody expecting this in here tonight? We could do that, Tychicus. But really, really pretty unknown, but an amazing guy. He said a faithful minister. I don't know about you, but there aren't too many words at the end of life that I would rather be able to be said about me or about our church, about as a Christian, than faithful. What do we learn? One of the highest praises, well done, thou good and faithful servant. More than popular, more than impressive, more than dynamic, more than whatever it might be, more than talent, faithful. I talk to my boys, you probably get tired of hearing me talk about sports. We enjoy sports and we play, and they're at that age, they love it. And I'll tell my boys when they're getting ready to start a new team or go to a camp or go to a practice, I'll say, boys, whatever sport it is, you might not be the, and we'll fill in the blank. You might not be the fastest, the best shooter, the most talent. You might not have the best arm, be the best hitter. You might not be able to hit home runs. You might not be able to do any of those things, but I'll tell them, you can be the hardest worker on the team. You can have the best attitude. And son, more important than any of those other things, if you're the hardest worker and the best attitude, I'm 100% proud of you. Our son, I told you last Wednesday when I came, they had beaten the first place team to advance in the playoffs to the semifinals. The next night, they lost in the bottom of the 6th by one run. He was catching at the time. He had pitched earlier. And after the game, man, they had already beaten the one seed, and he knew they were going to make it to the championship game. He wanted it, and he had driven and run and scored and whatever. He'd done those things. He wanted it. And he was just in tears. He was sitting on the bench, and I said, "Son," and this wasn't power of positive thinking stuff, I told him, "You know, if you mess up and you don't, if there are things where you have a bad spirit, I tell you this, I'm not Mr. Positive just to be Mr. Positive. I'm not Mr. Participation Trophy like we talked about Sunday morning, right? That's not me." I said, "Son, you know, I would tell you, you have absolutely nothing to hold your head down about. You gave your team everything you had." And it was kind of neat that night at the team party. The coach is friends with Jim Abbott. Some of you might remember him. He was a pitcher with one arm. He won an Olympic gold medal. And he singled Titus out as his team MVP, had Jim Abbott sign him a ball and gave it to him at the pizza party. So his spirits got lifted there. But I told him, I said, and then afterwards, a good teaching moment. I said, "Son, I told you what I said. Now, I'm glad you're sad you lost. You should want to win. But you gave your team everything you had." And that's what I try to instill. You can be the hardest worker and the best attitude. May I say, not everybody here, including myself, I've already stuttered 5 or 6 times in the service tonight. Not everybody here can be a perfect public speaker. Not everybody here can have a winsome personality. Aren't you glad that's not the only people God uses? Not everybody here can be as good looking as me. It's not possible. Well, you can be a lot better looking than me. That's the good news. Not all of us can have the talent or the this or the that, but every one of us can be faithful. And may I say, more important than all of those things, faithfulness. Determining. I don't know that there's much better than you could say. He's a beloved brother and a faithful minister. Tychic is trusted, beloved, loyal, faithful. I see next, he was a servant. He said, a faithful minister and fellow servant. He was that word minister, that is a servant. And again, the servant, the greatest, the least among you, the greatest among you shall be your servant. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. In God's economy, the servant is the highest position. In man's economy, the servant is the lowest. We look down on the servant. God says, "Oh no, 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 no. That's what I value the most. The person that doesn't live for themselves, but lives for others." And that's what Tychicus was. He was trusted, loved. He was loyal. He was faithful. He was a servant. I see next, he was a teammate. He said, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. That carries along the idea of he was all in to help whoever he could. He was to be, you could count on him to be there. Isn't Brother Doug McMaines, he's one of those, isn't he? You can count on, and he loves to serve. He's got a great spirit and a great reputation. I've been serving here now about 9 months. I know if I need anything, I can call Doug at any time, and he's going to rejoice to help me with anything. I think of that when I think of he's a fellow servant. He's right by my side. Now, I'm not always that way. Sometimes I don't have that servant's heart, but I strive to. That's what I want to be like. He's that one that whatever you need, I want to help you. I'm not just in this thing what I can get out of it. I'm not just here to get what I can from the church. I'm a fellow servant. I want to make a difference in the lives of those that God has called us to. Then he said in verse number 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose that he might know your estate. He's going to tell you about me, but I'm sending him also to find out about you. And I wrote down what was in it. It goes along with trusted, but he was dependable. He said, I've sent him unto you, and I can count on that he's going to do what I've asked. Then I wrote down, Tychicus was compassionate. He said, I've sent him unto you that he might know your estate. Have you ever been with somebody and all they wanted to do is talk about themselves? They don't care anything about how you're doing. Paul knew Tychicus would care. Hey, Tychicus, you know I love those Christians. Now, some of them I haven't even met. But I want to hear how they're doing. I want to find out how the work of God's doing. I'm in jail here for the sake of Christ, but I need you to come back and tell me what's going on at Ephesus. He said the exact same words to the church at Ephesus. Same exact testimony, right? We read that verse. I want to know what's going on in Ephesus. I want to know what's going on at Colossae. I want to know, and he sent Tychicus, I believe, because he knew he was a man of compassion. He would care what was happening. I'm going to find out how you're doing. Have the false teachers gotten in? Are you strong in the Lord? Who's fallen away? Who have we lost? Who's struggling? Who's troubled? Who's rejoicing? I need to know in Tychicus, a compassionate man. And then lastly, we see the last thing about him, we're done. He said, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate, and notice this, and comfort your hearts. What a special guy. He was encouraging. Paul said, I'm sending him because I know when he's done talking to you, when he's done telling you what's going on here, when he's done hearing about what's going on in your life, your hearts are going to be comforted. You're going to be encouraged. There are some people, you come into their presence, and every time you do, you're just encouraged, right? And there's others, by nature, that's not them. May I say, even if that's not your natural disposition to be an encourager, all of us can learn and work on that. Amen. We can all work, and looking at just two little verses that, I'll be honest, until I committed myself to preach through this book verse by verse, every other time I've read Colossians, probably I've pretty much just read over it. Okay, and he's sending Tychicus, that's a funny name, and sending him over there, and he's a good guy, I guess. Okay, let's move on. I want to know more. What happened to you, Paul? What happened to Barnabas? What did you guys do? What happened over there? I need to know about Timothy. I need to know about these. What happened there? And Paul takes two verses. I believe he lists all those names to remind us the power of our relationships, the power of our influences. And then he singles out Tychicus for two verses. Incognito, but not insignificant. Unknown, definitely not unimportant. Vital part, even though if we had asked anybody, I'll give you $100 if you tell me, what did Tychicus do? I probably would still go home with the $100 in my pocket before tonight, right? But just because we didn't know him, he was a vital part of the work of God. Really, Paul, man that God used to write more of the New Testament than anyone else. Paul, whose ministry, the effects of which have reached in most of us know Christ today because of the long-lasting effects of what we read here in Paul's missionary journeys. Paul, maybe what we would call one of the greatest Christians to ever walk the face of the earth. Paul, one of the most mightily used men of God ever, couldn't have done it without a man named Tychicus. And he gives us some of those important characteristics that I think all of us should strive to be: trusted, dependable, beloved, a brother, loyal, truly caring about one another, compassionate, and that those a servant, faithful, those things in the life of someone who is unknown. But may I suggest, he might have thought he was unknown and he might have been okay with being unknown. He just stayed by Paul, whatever I can do to serve you, Paul. But God made sure he wasn't unknown. God made sure his name was put in five of those books. God made sure that we're studying him on a random May Wednesday evening in Newport Beach in 2016 and being hopefully challenged in our own lives. Oh, none of us may ever be an Apostle Paul, but we can have the characteristics of a Tychicus. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that these thoughts would be a help, would be an encouragement, would be a challenge to each of us. God, so much, your word is so rich, so deep, so much to learn from really God, kind of seemingly somewhat just minor verses, I guess you would say. But Lord, there is no minor truth in your word. You've given it all to us to learn from. And I pray, Lord, you've given a wonderful service to this church. I pray that all of us would seek to embody the characteristics that we've learned about from this somewhat unknown character in your word. I ask these things in your name. Amen.